Hey, man. No, it's good to be here this morning. I want to thank you guys for coming out yesterday. Vail Pride Day, for those that don't know what that is, Vail Pride Day was started 20-some years ago by the Vail School District to celebrate what's happening in the Vail School District. So they celebrate the teachers and the volunteers and especially the students. And yesterday, we were able to go out and host a booth and had a little fishing game for the kids and couldn't keep Charles off of it. He kept taking the fishing poles from the kids and stuff. So we had to have a little conversation, but we got through it. But it was really good, guys. We had a lot of people come out to serve from our church. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being there and just inviting people to our church and loving on our community. That's what it's about, guys, not just being in the community, but being for the community and praying for opportunities to share the gospel and invite people to what God's doing here. As a church, we are walking through the New Testament book of James together. At Authentic Life, we like to take time to walk through books of the Bible. Periodically, we'll do a topic and we'll focus on an issue or maybe do a vision series or something of that sort. But we really love to walk through verse by verse books of the Bible so that we don't miss anything that God has for us. You know, it's really interesting. I mean, it's some things are hard to preach on, right? Some things are hard to hear, and this just allows us to go through that. Currently, in our series in James, we've titled this series Authentic and Courageous Faith. And in this study, James is teaching us, the Holy Spirit is using James to teach us what it looks like to live the life of a Jesus follower, right? He's showing us that our lives, there should be evidence in our lives, the things that we do in our lives should show the world that we belong to Jesus. When we come to know Jesus and he saves us, church, our lives should reflect that. And this morning, in our fourth week in this series, if you've missed any of them, they're all online, but we can just dive in right today. But James is going to show us in this fourth week how we as Christians are to receive and respond to God's word, to the Bible, right, that we hold in our hands. And so, church, I want to encourage you, if you have your Bibles, open them to James chapter 1, and we're going to be in verses 19 through 25 this morning. If anybody needs a Bible, we purchase Bibles, we get Bibles so people can take them with you. So there's some at the back table if you need to go grab one and keep that with you. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. And I think that our passage today is a really good passage for us because sometimes we can approach, even if we've been saved for a long time and going to church for a long time, we can approach God's word. Sometimes we can open it and read it in such ways that really aren't healthy, right, that aren't good, right? And if we're honest, we often come to God's word, right, in a hurry or maybe even with the wrong motives or with the wrong attitude. But in this section of scripture, God is going to use James to lay out for us ways in which we are to approach and receive the word of God. And so to honor God and his words, would you guys stand with me this morning? And we're going to read verses 19 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. Here's what God's word says. This you know, my beloved brethren. And just so you guys know what that means, he's talking to the church, brothers and sisters in Christ. So when you see beloved brethren, it's us. It's those that are saved. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he or she is like a man who looks at his natural face or her natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man, this follower of Christ, will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray. Father, we gather before you today ready to hear what you have for us today. God, I pray, Lord, that you are glorified by what comes out of my lips. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be in charge of this moment. God, help our ears be ready to hear. Help our hearts be ready to respond. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Before we dive in, I want to ask you guys a question. Who in here grew up hearing this phrase? You have two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? Now, I know some of y'all, you better get your hands up because I know your mama said that to you, right? right? And we just heard that growing up. Maybe you heard it from your parents, maybe your teacher, maybe your coach. Maybe you're the one that's now saying it, right? You're like, I'm never going to say that to my kids, but now you're the ones doing it. We'll ask your kids later, right? But I remember, I know this is going to be a shock to you. I remember hearing that as a kid. I don't know why, right? But I remember hearing that as a kid from more than one person, probably from every teacher, from every coach, from every both of my parents. It's usually said when the person who's teaching you, right, or talking to you, they want you to do a better job of listening. Amen? Right? They want you to do a good job of listening and not so much talking or responding or even arguing. You see, James is writing this to a group. They were a little more informal in their services in that day, and the word would be preached or it would be taught, and what would happen a lot is the people would just start debating and arguing, right? They were like, well, I don't think this, and so he's approaching them in such a way and saying, hey, listen and don't speak. You have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Your mom and your dad, your coach, your teacher weren't the first ones to say it. James really says something like that a long time ago right here in our text. And he's laying out for us, church, how we should respond to God's word. Right? One of the things he says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. And we're going to look at that phrase and other things from this passage as we walk through these verses together. And our goal, our prayer today is that when we walk through this passage, we're going to see how we should come to and how we should respond to the word of God. How should we as Christians, as children of God, how should we receive and read and respond to what God's word has for us? And so our first, we're going to dive right in. Our first response when it comes to the word of God is this. We are to believe it as truth. We're to believe it as truth. Throughout this passage, we see something mentioned over and over again, and that's this phrase, the word, right? Verse 21, James says we're to receive the word. Verse 22, be doers of the word. 23 speaks of being a hearer of the word. Verse 25 says, look intently at the perfect law. Just another term, another phrase used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, talking about the word of God. And here's what Psalm 119, 160 says about the word. The psalmist writes this. It says, the entirety, talking to God, the entirety of your word, God, is truth. Right? The entirety of your word is truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is inspired by God. The phrase inspired by God means it's God-breathed. There's nothing in this word that doesn't come from the breath of God, right? The Bible, we know this. A phrase I like to say is when the Bible speaks, God is speaking. And I share all this to simply say this. The Bible that we hold in our hands is from the God, right? The true God, and everything that's in the word of God is God-breathed, and it's true. You know, here's the thing. I don't know about you guys, but when I grab a newspaper, Nico, a newspaper is a paper that they throw on your porch. Okay. They don't know. Yeah, you get stuff on ink on your hands. Okay. Some people don't know what newspapers are anymore. But when you read a newspaper article, right, or you read something online or on your phone or in a book, right, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I read something, especially if it's presented as truth, I spend a lot of my time diving deeper, right, and say, man, is what they're saying true? Right? We got to do that, right? You read something online. I remember Abraham Lincoln one time said something on Facebook, right? Come on, y'all. That's okay. Y'all a little slow this morning, okay? Like, but there's things online that just aren't true, right? Y'all know Abraham Lincoln didn't have Facebook, right? I just want to make sure we get that. I don't know. But I end up spending a lot of time diving deeper to see if it's true. Because a lot of what we read has mixed opinions, right? It has opinions mixed into it. It has theories. It has perspectives that are presented as truth. Right? Some of it's just straight up lies. Amen, church? Right? So things that we read written by men and women are not always true. But here's the great thing. When I come to the word, it's good, church. When I come to the word, I don't have to check another source. Right? I don't have to go and find a fact checker. This is the fact checker. Right, church? We just need to own that. Like, this is true. And so let's just start right there. Our response this morning when we come to the word of God is to not say, man, this is God's opinion or these are God's ideas and I'm going to lay it out and figure out what everything else says and then see what I like. Man, the word of God is truth. 2 Samuel 7:28 says this, Lord God, you are God and your words are true. Jesus says in John 17, 17, he's having a moment with the Father. You got God the Son and God the Father like talking, right? They're praying, and Jesus is praying for us. And he says to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. Guess what he says? Your word is truth. Right, church, when we come to our time in God's word and believe that some of it is true and some of it is not, that doesn't work. Right? It doesn't even make sense. Like for us to do that, it's the same author. All scripture is God-breathed. So number one, we believe it is truth. And if you have a hard time with that, that's where you start, guys. Man, we believe it is true. Number two is Christ followers. Based off of this text, we properly respond to the word of God, church, when we receive it with humility. Receive it with humility. I think maybe all of us might struggle with this at times. Look at what it says in verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus followers, this you know, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So let's walk through all of these verses to see how we can read the Bible with humility. First, he says in verse 19, he says, be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. You know what that phrase means? It literally means hurry up and listen. That's what it means. Hurry up and listen, right? James is saying we're to have an urgency to hear from God. Have an urgency to hear from God. Let me give you an example. I remember when Jessica and I were dating, right? And I remember I would get off work or I'd get out of class or whatever it was, right? And I knew that Jessica, like she was going to school at the time. She wasn't by me. I'm just going to tell y'all, I could not wait to talk to that girl. Are you with me, guys? Even if you aren't, just shake your head yes because your wife's looking at the moment, right? I mean, come on now, right? But I remember, like, I just could not wait to call her because I wanted to hear her voice. I didn't care what she said. I just wanted to hear her voice. I still love it. Man, if you got tired of hearing your wife's voice, there's something wrong with your heart. I'm just saying, man. Are you with me? Man, I still love it. When I get out of a meeting, whenever I get out of work, I'm headed for home, there is a sense of urgency to hear my wife's voice. And because this is God's word, these are words from our Creator and our Lord and our Savior, we should have an urgency to want to hear from Him. But notice he doesn't say be quick to speak, but quick to listen, right? And the word here means to listen. The word listen means to listen to understand. Don't listen to respond. Listen to understand. We often come to God's word just so that we can say that we read it, right? Or so we can see if we like what it says. But James is saying, come humbly to the word of God. Come ready to listen. Come ready to hear. Come ready to receive what God has for you. And so how do we receive it humbly? We listen, church, intently. We listen intently. What is my God, my Creator, my Lord, my Savior? What is He saying to me? And then he says this. He says, come to God's word humbly, slow to speak. Right, we want to approach God's word ready to listen, right? And so, church, here's the thing. We must be willing to be quiet, right? That's really the idea here. Many times we come to the teacher talking instead of listening. My wife's a fourth grade teacher. We got other teachers in here, right? And there's a lot of times it's like us walking up to the teacher's desk and say, hey, I need your help. And then we do all the talking to the teacher instead of listening to what they're saying. That's the idea. Right, we come to God in the word of God and we come ready to share our thoughts. We even come ready to argue with God. Maybe we're ready, maybe we want to come to God's word so that we can teach his word. Amen, right? So we come ready to teach instead of pausing to really hear what God is saying. Here's a side note. If God has called you to teach from his word, if God has called you to teach from his word, then this must be something you're after. To hear what God is saying in the context that he's saying it. To understand what the word is saying. Why? So that you can teach it appropriately. There are a lot of people out there that just grab the Bible and make it say what they want it to say, church. Are you with me? If you're teaching parents, y'all should be teaching your kids about the Bible. Read the word to understand it so that you can teach it appropriately. Life group leaders, kids life leaders, pastors, right? Read the word and be ready to listen intently and slow to speak. If we believe God's word to be true, then we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. I think a good way to say this is we listen intently and then we speak carefully. Here's what I mean by that. After paying careful attention to what's in the word, we then pay careful attention to what we say and how we say it and how we teach and how we respond. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. To come to God's word humbly is to hear what God is saying. Church, we think about this anger idea. Don't come to the word of God with our defenses up. Right? So that we're led to anger and we put up a resistance to God. Let's be honest. We do that. Right? We come to the word with our minds made up. We come and we're just so sure that we're right. And sometimes we find God saying something that doesn't align with what we like. Or what we thought. Or maybe, here's the hard thing, maybe we open up the word and we see something about sin and we're like, oh, I got that in my life. We're like, hang on, God, this is America, man. This is 2022. Are you sure you have a right to speak into that? Are you with me? Man, let's not put that wall up and get angry with God. James is saying, you can trust God. You can trust what's in his word, so be humble, right? Listen intently, speak carefully, and then respond without anger. Respond without anger, church. Come with your walls down without a resistance to what God is saying. James continues in verse 21 with the idea of responding with humility. He says this, he says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Receiving the word with humility also means that we have to often put ourselves aside. That's hard, right? Put ourselves aside. Put aside our sinful ideas. Put aside our selfish ideas, right? Put aside worldly ideas. The picture here is this, church. Get rid of all the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent even within us before we come to God's word. Here's a warning for us, church. We are to not allow our flesh and the ideas of the world to get in the way or cloud up what God is saying. I'm going to say that again. We cannot allow our flesh or the ideas of the world to get in the way of what God is saying. Too often we hear the word of God read and taught in such a way through someone's opinion, right? Or through someone's political views. Are you with me, church? Come on now. Are you with me, guys? Right? So I like what David Platt says about this. David's a pastor and an author. He says this. He says, we bring so many ideas from this world, sinful ideas, selfish ideas, to our study of the word. But we got to know that. Like before we go into the word, God, help me set aside these things, right? Help me hear clearly from you. James says we are to put them off, get rid of them so that we can hear from God clearly. And church, I'm going to be honest with you. I think James is truly inviting you and me when we read the word of God to take our sins to him. I really think he's doing that. I think he's saying, hey, but maybe before you read the word, maybe there's some junk in you that you need to confess of or repent of or to turn of or to put aside. Right? Before we dive in, confess and give God your sins. While you're diving in, confess your sins. And after you dive in. And here's the thing, man. If you walk away from God's word and you're not confessing sins, you ain't reading it right. Come on, pastor. Amen? Come on. Y'all getting me worked up, right? Let's respond a little bit, man. Like, if we are reading the word of God and we're not walking away telling God we're sorry for some of our sin, it's not him, right? We're not reading it right. I don't even know where I'm at. It was all free right there. All right. To truly receive humbly what God is saying, lay aside anything that will keep you from hearing what God has for you. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Lay aside sin so that you can come humbly to his word. Church, if we can't come to the Bible humbly, we're not coming right. We got to come ready to receive what he has to say, not see if it lines up with what we think. And I love this. James writes in verse 21, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Church, when you are saved, when I was saved, right? Or when, if you haven't been saved, when God saves you, God plants, the Bible says God plants his word in us, in our hearts, right? God uses his word to produce new life within us. Jesus does the saving, church, right? Jesus saves us. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's because he came, because he so loved us, and he lived a perfect life, which we haven't. He died in our place. He was dead. He was buried, and he rose again. And when we trust in Jesus, we are saved. But it's also the truth that we find in God's word. It's the gospel that's in the word of God. It's the truth that we read that saves our souls, that teaches us of salvation through Jesus alone. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Church, it's the truth of John 3:16 that teaches us that God so loved us that he sent Jesus, and whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's the truth in Romans 6:23 that says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve because of our sin. But the gift of God, the free gift, is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's that truth. It's the truth found in Romans chapter 10 that says, if you confess with your mouth, right, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We are to receive the word that is implanted in us. To receive means to embrace it, to grasp a hold of it. And with humility, church, fully relying on God and who he is and what he says, we receive the word that he has planted in us, and his word gives us life. We also learn, by the way, we also learn how to be more and more like Jesus from the word. Right? You want to live the life that God's called you to live. You can't do it if you're not in the word. Let's just own that. All right, next two responses to how we come to God's word, that come from verse 22 and 25. Look at what James writes. He says this, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and then gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So when we come to God's word, we believe it as truth, right? We receive it with humility. And next is this, as Christ followers, when we look to God's word, we are to look to understand and remember it. I think we're going to camp out just a little bit here on this, church. James says a few times in this verse that we're to look at the word, right? And then in verse 25, he says, look intently. And the words look intently, it means to observe carefully to understand. It's the idea of like getting real close to something to see all the details in it. It means that we're to get close to investigate and to study. I think it's a good reminder for us today from James because I'm going to be honest with you. I think most of us that are Christ followers, we have a desire to be in the word. Right? There's a desire to be in the word. Whether we do it or not, that's a different story, but there's a desire. But a lot of times, if we're honest, we find ourselves crunched for time. We find ourselves in a hurry. And so what do? We're like, well, I got to get that Sunday school checklist off, right? I need to read my Bible for the day. And so I'm going to open it up. I'm going to read it real quick. But if we're honest when we do that, there's no way possible, church. There's no way, if we're honest, there's no way that we looked at it to really know it and to understand what God is saying. There's no way that if we read it in a hurry or just to check something off the list that we understood what God was saying. There's no way that that will lead us to remember what he's saying. We aren't reading, church, to see how much we can read. I'm a big fan of reading through the Bible in a year, right? Done that a few times. I think that's a good thing to do. But church, I think there's also got to be a time where we stop and read a couple sentences or maybe a paragraph and really read it and look at it intently so that you can understand it and remember it. We're reading to really hear from God, church, to understand it and remember what he says. Jesus is telling us when you come to the Bible, we're to come and look at it intently, to study it, observe it, and understand it. And then when we read it and hear it and pay attention to what God is saying, that leads us to remember it. And carrying along with this idea of looking, James says, he gives this crazy example starting in verse 23. So, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man or woman who looks at his natural face in a mirror. for once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Man, James uses this crazy analogy of a man that goes and looks in a mirror. And he's seeing his face, right? Right? He's seeing, you know, hair growing out of places that never grew out before. He's seeing pimples. He's seeing like dirt. He's seeing all of these things. He's seeing the face. But as soon as he walks away, he has no clue what he looks like. He couldn't pick himself out of a police lineup. Are you with me, guys? That's ridiculous, right? I mean, that just doesn't make sense. It's silly. But we often do that with the Word. We open and look into the Word in such a way that we can walk away and not even remember what we just read. Don't raise your hand for this next question. But how many times do you find yourselves talking with someone, even someone that you love, and they're telling you a story, they're telling you something about their day, they may be even answering your question, and by the time they're done talking, you really have no clue as to what they're talking about? Spouses, come on, yeah. Men and women, y'all do it, right? Parents, we can do that with our kids. And if you got kids, you know your kids do it to the parents. Amen, church? They do it to teachers, right? Something else has our attention. Something else is on our mind. Maybe it's the TV. Maybe there's thoughts. Maybe there's something going on, right? But we don't remember what that person just said to us. I know someone that does marital counseling if you guys need to work through something later. But church, we hear the words, but we're not really listening. And I think some of us got really good at this. We're like, So what'd you think about that? And the husband's like, can you say that part again? I want to make sure I heard it right. You know? Right? But we're not really listening. James is saying, remove distractions. Prepare your heart. Don't rush. Come and read God's word to you in a way that you can understand it and know it and remember it. I always like to suggest two different ways to do that. And you guys may have your own way to do that, but there's an acronym called SOAP. S is you write out the scripture, right, as you're studying it. O is you observe it, right? What is God saying? Not what do I think he's saying. What is this passage saying? A is application. How do I apply that to my life? And then P, you write out your prayer, right? Scripture, observe, apply, pray. One that I really love is three questions. What does this passage teach me about God? What does this passage teach me about me or mankind? And what does God want me to do with it? You know, when we do things like that, when we come and we have those questions, right, there's no way that we can rush through it because we want to be able to answer those questions. We want to be able to write it out. We want to be able to pray over it. So if you want those, I can share those with you later, but just any way that will help you focus and observe what God is saying. And then as we hear the word, maybe right here in worship, maybe in small groups, right? Maybe in kids' life, youth group, wherever, and we're studying the word of God together, church, don't just leave, get on the road, grab a bite to eat, and forget what God told you this morning. Amen? Man, we can't do that. James is saying, look intently, study God's word to know it and remember it. We look intently, and when we do that, we don't allow ourselves, the Bible says, to become forgetful hearers. There's got to be an intentionality, church. So we respond to God's word by believing it's true. We receive it with humility. We look at it, we read it, we come to it to understand and remember it. And last is this. We respond rightly to God's word when we obey it continually and completely. We keep on obeying all of God's word. Jesus says in Matthew 7:24, as he's telling a story, he says, if we hear his words and do not put them into action, basically that we're foolish and unwise. As Christians, when we are saved, church, we're not just getting our get out of hell free card. We got to know that. When we are saved, we're surrendering to Jesus to be Lord of our life, to be the boss, to be the teacher, to be the leader. And we're understanding that we are to surrender to the Word of God. We're to be obedient to the Word of God. Here's the reality, church. God expects you and me to read the Word and to act on it. That's an expectation. right? It's not a suggestion, right? It's an expectation that God has that you put into motion in your life what he just told you in his word. I like what Luke 11:28 says. Jesus says this, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. That word observe it is pretty deep. It actually means to preserve, to guard, and to take care not to violate it. Right? We got to take care not to violate the word of God. This is a continuing theme throughout scripture that we're to hear it and understand it and then follow through with what it says. And James says it here in verse 22. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. James is saying that the word of God evokes action in our daily life. I like to say this, when we open God's word, right? When we open this word, no matter what we read, there's a response that we have to have from that. God demands a response to what we read in his word. And one of our responses is to obey it. And notice that he doesn't write it as just prove yourselves to do the word, right? It's not just once. Hey, God, remember that one time, like, I did it. Remember that? Like, I did it. Like, I did good. Right? He says, prove yourselves to be doers. The language there in the Greek is a word of continuation. It means you're continually doing the word, right? So you obey the word continually. We keep on obeying God's word. And then he says this, he says, prove yourselves to be doers. Here's what that means. It means there's evidence in your life that you're continually in the word and following God's word. You can't prove it otherwise, church. People should be able to look at your life and say, man, he ain't perfect. She's not perfect. But they're in it and they're following it. Jesus is calling us to not only do, but to be doers consistently and constantly in the word, hearing it, believing it, receiving it humbly, and being doers of it. Church, all of it. All of it. One thing that we like to do is open this up and we're like, man, I really like this part. Let's dive in it. We share it online, right? It's on our Instagram, right? It's on Twitter. It's on Facebook. Like, it's all, I don't know what young people are using anymore. They're using some kind of something, right? But they're using something, right? And it's they post it on there, but then when there's something that they don't like, we don't see it on our Instagram, right? We don't talk about it. It's the whole word of God, right? All his scripture is truth. All of it's truth. One commentator said this, you have not really listened to the word if you've not obeyed the word. Whew. Right? That's a little heavy, church, right? You've not really listened to the word if you've not obeyed the word. The bottom line is that the word evokes action. And if there is not action from the word, then clearly there has been no acceptance of the word. Man, that's a good word for us today, church. If we really say that we trust the author of the word, and we trust what's in the word, and we're looking intently into the word and still do not live it out, man, I'm in agreement with this, then we're not truly accepting what God is saying to us. We're choosing something over God in that moment. As we begin to close, don't miss what James says in verse 25. Just so you know, when a pastor says, as we begin to close, we still got another 30 minutes, all right? So if we get done before then, you guys are blessed. He says this, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. He says three important things here, church. He says we're to look intently at God's word. We're to remember it. And we're to become doers of it. We're to obey it. We're to look intently, we're to remember, and we're to obey it. And when we do that, God's word tells us, and it's truth, that we'll be blessed in what we do. You want a blessed life? That's what we do. Church, this is God's design for you and me. It's to be in his word. It's to truly listen, to know what's true, right? To know that it is true, to receive it with humility, to understand and remember it and obey it, and you will be blessed in what you do. As we begin to close, I want us to think about a little bit of what our response is. My son's life verse, it's hanging up in his, my oldest son, his life verse, it's hanging up in his room. We talk about is this word, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with every bit of you. I tell Jax, every bit of you, you got to trust in God. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't live off of your own ideas and your own thoughts. Don't lean on your own understandings, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything you do, Jax, it's all about you and God, right? It's about coming to him and acknowledging him in every decision that you make. And he will make your path straight. In what areas of our life do we need to be obedient to God, church? There are people today that know God's word well. They have studied it. They know it. They might have gone to seminary, right? But are they doing it? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but here's the question. Is that you? You know it. You went to Sunday school in Awana when you were little. You got it memorized. But it means nothing if we're not doing it. God doesn't stop at saying no. He says do. And guys, when we look at Proverbs 3, we can trust in the Lord with all our heart, which will lead us to obey his word. This morning, all of us, when we close, I'm going to invite us to pray and really say things like this. God, what areas of my life have you been teaching me in the word of God and telling me I need to obey you? What areas have you been saying, I need you to do this and I've not done it? What area in my life is that, God? Where do I need to obey you? What step am I going to take next? How am I going to start obeying you this afternoon? What do I need to do, God? I want to surrender to you in that. God, am I living my life in a way that puts you and your ways ahead of me and mine? Because if that's our goal, then we've got to be willing to obey his word, church, to put into action, to be hearers and doers. And so personally, for each of you, what do you need to do? There's an old song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I love that song. We want to live a blessed life. We trust and obey, church. Men, let your wife, let your kids, your grandkids, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, let them see you in the word of God. And let them see it transform your life as you apply it. Let them see you trust in it and live it out. Ladies, same thing. Let your husbands, your kids, your neighbors, your friends, your family, let them see you in the word of God and see that it's transforming your life. Young people, I need your attention right here. Young people, there are a lot of things. Young people, don't take your eyes off me, please. All right? There are a lot of things that are taking or that are trying to pull your attention. There's a lot of things that are trying to speak into your life. But your Savior, your Creator, your Designer, your God demands your attention. You need to hear from God. You need to let God's Word transform your life. And so I challenge you, young people. I would challenge you today as your pastor to take one step today to grow in your time in the Word of God. Talk to your parents about it. What can I do? Talk to your youth leader about it. Talk to your kids' life leader. What can I do to be in the Word of God more? How can I spend time in the Word of God? Adults, same thing. I think just for our kids, right? What next step does God want you to take this morning? Is it to believe what he says? Is it to humble yourself before God? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger? Is it to read it and understand it and remember it? Or maybe you just say today, man, I've done all that. I just need to do it. I just need to apply it. I just need to obey God. And so, Justin, would you come up? Man, I'm going to have him play some music. And church, that's what I want us to do. I want us to take our time to God. And young people, man, if you want a way, I'll be your accountability buddy. Man, just come. I'll get you a way for you to study. But I think you need to do that with your parents as well. I think that's or your youth group leader or something. But it needs to be happening in the home, right? Parents, you want your kids to grow in the Word, you got to be in the Word. Because if you ain't, they ain't either. Sorry, teachers. Ain't in the dictionary. I found it. What does God want you to do next? Young people, take time and talk to God this morning. God, what do you want me to do next so that I can be in the Word of God, believe it and trust it and do what it says? And if you guys need resources, I'd love to hand those out. Parents, if you want help on how to help your kids with that, I'd love to do that. So you guys take some time and pray.